So the inbreaking of the Holy Spirit. This is, today's passage is from the book of Acts. In chapter 2, verses 1 through 21, found on page 1692 in your pew Bible, is where it starts, if you'd like to follow along with me. Before we hear the word read and proclaimed, let us go to God in prayer. Can you say with me the prayer of illumination that's printed in our bulletin? Holy wisdom, you are the pillar of fire that leads us into new moment of our lives. By the power of your Spirit, settle now into our hearts and illumine your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered in one place. Looks familiar, right? Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya and Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. And listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God indeed. I wonder if in this day and time we might want to do more listening than talking. At least at first, and maybe for a while. I've heard it said that in our day-to-day conversations, the challenge is not to stop or to shut down a hearty argument, but rather to make sure that it's a real argument. The first obligation for Christians is to listen carefully to opponents And if they're not willing to do so, then we should just simply be silent. To engage in a war of words is to engage in a symbolic violence that is fundamentally at odds with the gospel. And I think we should do well to do more listening than speaking. How often have, and perhaps you did this morning, how often have you come in the sanctuary on any particular Sunday, gathered together, eager to hear and seek a word from the Lord, clearly convinced that we know what God is going to say? I wonder if being silent is a prerequisite for listening to the Holy Spirit, or at least not obstructing the wind, right? Not blowing out the flame, not stifling the words given to us by God or about God. With the war of words and the battle of rhetoric that's raging every day in our current culture, I asked myself if this Pentecost could be an opportunity to stop running off of the map, especially with empty words, with my own opinions, and instead gather together in worship and wait for the Holy Spirit to speak in the form of ideas and sentiments, not solely of our own preferences and our own assumptions. Could it be possible that this Pentecost enables us to hear and understand languages and new ideas and possibilities that are not native to us, that we've never tried before? And perhaps the Holy Spirit yearns to expose us to experiences previously unknown to us, connecting us with people we assume have nothing in common with us. Pentecost does so many things. It unsettles us. It turns us on our end. It puts the word of the Lord in the mouth of those long silenced. And I think that's what it's supposed to do. Pentecost upends the oppression of the possible and makes rooms for relationships and community otherwise unimaginable. So I have to ask you, what does such an Holy Spirit upheaval look like in your context, in our church, in your homes, in your places of work? And are you willing to yield to that vision? Or do you dismiss such radical new connections, expansive divine agency, and this wild creativity as to, it's too bewildering, it's too much to handle, or merely the ramblings of someone who just doesn't know what they're talking about? In the book, Design Unbound, there's a discussion about the problem of the oppression, the tyranny of the possible. It's based on the work of Stephen Duncombe, and it says that our solutions to problems are limited when we think only within the constraints of what we currently accept as possible. Our solutions to problems are limited when we think only within the constraints of what we currently accept as possible. He says that the kind of world that we are navigating now, the kinds of problems we want to gain a stronghold on, demand a new tool set in which imagination is not an embellishment to real work in the world, but But imagination, creative thinking, thinking outside the box is the very keystone to the capacity upon which all other work depends. Because it supports common sense making and develops compassion, and it drives innovation. Pentecost eliminates the oppression of the possible, or at least it should for us Christians. Jesus' resurrection, coupled with the coming of the Holy Spirit, should convince us that through Christ, all things are truly possible. Not the least of which is reconciliation with God and neighbor that is made manifest in this boundary breaking, genuine community made up of people from every tribe and every nation. If we don't think God is capable of and desiring of this revolution of intimacy, this personal relationship, as what we call Pentecost, well, then we should gather together and we should keep silent and wait for the Holy Spirit to give us first understanding and then words to express what God reveals. Amen? Oftentimes I've had the privilege of sitting at table with friends and my ecumenical family, many from different religious denominations or orders, and even my own family. And repeatedly I'm asked, out of earshot, of the gathering, how to speak a biblical and theological word into our cultural context of violence, of fear, of division. And I'm asked how to respond around the dinner table with family and friends with whom I disagree. And I'm asked how to be heard in the public square when other parts of the body of Christ seem to use a bullhorn to spout beliefs that they think are oppressing to the gospel. And I sit in lament when I hear the perception of among many that Christians are judgmental and exclusive. So many want to know how to make their faith in Jesus Christ matter in a context increasingly dismissive of the institution of the church. And I think we need Pentecost, an unmistakable inbreaking of the Holy Spirit. I think that we as disciples of Jesus Christ gathering this Sunday, we should be silent, eagerly on the edge of our pews, anticipating the fire and the wind and the word of the Lord that tells of God's deeds, of power, not just when Jesus walked on the earth, but right here and right now. The body of Christ, this branch of it, must be willing to sit in silence in it. To hear any voice but God. Remembering that God's words are not our words. And that God speaks in a multitude of languages and ideas and imagination and through the people we often least expect. We need to stop being beholden to the denomination, the domination of the possible. Remembering that through Christ all things are possible, and trust that the Holy Spirit gives us the words and the power and the courage to live that truth. What does that look like where we are? I mean, can you begin to imagine it? Remember, friends, this Pentecost season. Jesus crossed every barrier between people including the greatest barrier of all, the division between God and humankind. He is our peace. And because of his life and death and resurrection and coming return, those who believe in Jesus not only have God's presence with us, but in us and through us in the Holy Spirit. And therefore, we have the power through God to believe, to leave behind the compromised Christianity that makes its compromise with intolerance. And we are called to live out Christ's call to courageous faith. This reminds us that the Holy Spirit enables us to practice an uncompromised and uncompromising faith. We have Pentecost possibility, friends. Pentecost possibility. We are gathered together in the name of Jesus Christ this Sunday. So listen to your neighbor. Be silent. And then speak the words that are not your own, but God's. Knowing that the Spirit gives you the ability to proclaim God's deeds of power and experience them through others. Even those you least expect. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.